This box represents tonight your life. This is a Nike box, shoe box, LeBron James. And inside, we have a couple other shoe boxes that could, I guess, maybe we have different lengths of life or sizes of life. We have this box represents tonight for the message, your life, because it represents our time, our resources, our energy, our ability. All of this would fit, if we will, for the sake of the illustration, fit that we all have a finite amount of all of those things. We have a finite amount of time, of resources, of energy. And so we're going to represent that with this box. I can't make my life longer. I can't give myself more hours in the day. I can't give myself more hours in the week. I have what God has given to me, and I can seek to be a wise steward with what He gives us. We only have so much time, so much space, so much width, so much breadth, if you will, in this thing called life. And tonight, as we're in our 12th lesson, going verse by verse through the book of Ecclesiastes, this morning we finished, we went through about, 12, 13 verses in chapter 5, finished up chapter 5 this morning. Tonight we're going to see if we can get through all of chapter number 6. And so the title, as we're here in this 12th week, is What's in Your Box? Or you could rephrase it, What Are You Putting in Your Box? This box, talk to me now, it represents your what? Represents your life. A finite amount of time, resources, and energy. This here, I have a box of these Duplo Legos. We have had Legos like this for probably a decade. I came home last night and told my wife, hey babe, I need to get those Legos, you know, the ones in the big blue rolling cart. I need to get those for a sermon illustration for tomorrow night. She said, we don't have those. I said, honey, we've had those for like 10 years since, you know, Titus or Ashlyn or something was younger. I can picture it. It's a whole big blue rolling cart. No, we don't have those. I said, babe, we've had it. Where are they? They've got to be in the garage. No. I said, well, where'd they go? She said, I got rid of them. I said, when? She said, 2 weeks ago. So I had to call around, and this is what I was able to come up with. And I should have more than this, probably for the sake of illustration, but this box here and the rag to dry them off with. We made sure they were sterilized and clean tonight. This box of these Legos, this represents the endless opportunities of our lives. And so each one of these small things, different sizes, different shapes, different amount of resources and time and all of that, these boxes, these blocks here, these Legos, if you will, they represent the different opportunities that you and I have. And we have the opportunity, what it is about stewarding life, what Solomon did. Solomon took his life and said, I'm going to try to cram every one of these in here. I'm going to try everything there is to try. And he overextended his life. He tried things that he should not have tried. He did things. He went down a path he should not have gone down. And he found out that it was vanity and vexation of spirit. And this thing that we might call time management, or you might call it life management, stewardship of our lives, is all about on an annual basis, over the course of decades, over the course of years, over the course of months, weeks, days, and even hourly, it's us choosing what are we going to fill our box with. And the amount of these blocks is endless. Let's just talk for a little while here about the things that we can do. You see, God promises to give us wisdom and guidance about this, but it's us that must choose what blocks will we place in our box. The Bible says, the psalmist said, so teach us to number our days. Why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What is the psalmist basically saying? God, help us to be wise about which blocks we put into the box of our life. Why? That we may apply our heart unto wisdom, because all of these, and if I would have had two or three times this, which would better represent the opportunities of life, this is not, our life is not going to hold every possible opportunity. The truth of the matter is, you're probably going to say no to more opportunities, and you're going to have to say no to more things in your life than you're going to say yes to. Every day you have to make a choice, and throughout each day, what am I going to do? I don't know about you, but the to-do list is always longer at work and at home than the amount of hours in the day. And there are times where I feel like, okay, I'm doing really well in my role as a father and as a husband, but I'm struggling in my role as a pastor. Okay, I'm doing really well caring for the flock of God and shepherding them, but I'm neglecting my family maybe a little bit, or I'm doing well here, but it's been a while since I called my mom, or I'm doing well there, but I really haven't been the witness. I'm doing a good job caring for the sheep and caring for my family, but I really haven't been a witness to those around me. And this is a constant battle where we have this finite amount of time, resources, and energy, and we have to choose what's going in the box. What are we going to put in the box? Let's talk about some things that we have to say yes or no to. We choose, are we going to put Sunday morning church attendance in the box and daily time in God's word in the box? And maybe we're going to go on family vacation and overtime at work comes up and we have to choose, you know what? No, I have to say no to that. I'm not going to work that right now at this season of my life. And homework for school for teenagers, am I going to put that in the box, or am I going to spend that time in video games? And are we going to sign up our kids for the swim team or the football team and the basketball team and the baseball team and the dance team and the ballet team and the soccer team and the lacrosse team and the robotics class, and the list goes on, am I right? And we have to choose, what are we going, especially in that season of child rearing, what am I going to say yes to? And you know what, it's getting a little full. Maybe I'm going to pull one of those out. Maybe this season it's time to say no to one of those. And we have to choose, I'm going to spend some time reading a book today. And are we going to put that block of family prayer, and we only have a short period of time while children are in our home, to spend that time on a daily basis and reading God's word or praying or spending time fellowship? Am I going to put that there? You know what, my box is already filled with other things. I'm going to have to set that off to the side. Am I going to say no to that? And am I going to go to Sunday night church? And of course, the answer, you answered that. You put that in your box. And am I going to eat breakfast? They say it's the most important meal of the day. How many of you are faithful to eat breakfast each and every day? A good number of you. How many of you are like me? Most days you do not eat breakfast. And so we say, you know what? I'm going to take that if you're like me. And we're not going to put that in the box. I'm not going to take the time. I like breakfast, but it's probably one out of every 7, 8, 9 days that I eat it. And I've chosen for me, for whatever reason, just in my daily routine, I do not put what they call maybe the most important meal of the day in my box. I have chosen for that day, breakfast is not on the priority list. And brushing your teeth, make sure you put that in the box. We want all of us to spend time doing that. And weekly service through the local church, getting involved in some area of ministry. And I'm going to take my Sunday afternoon nap. How many of you put that in the box today? All right, I got one of those in the box today. Other weeks I don't. And when that happens, I get very upset and very cranky. And maybe there's a new TV series on Netflix. You have to decide, am I going to put that in the box, or am I going to throw it over here? What am I going to do? And Monday night football, and taking a nightly walk, and golfing with friends. I haven't put that in my box very often. And cooking class, and I don't do that, but maybe you do. And team building with your team at work, spending some time there. And visiting out-of-state family. And we were just talking to my brother-in-law who planted that church in Arizona. They had their highest day since their opening day today and had about 15 first-time visitors, I think. And God's been blessing there. But are we going to visit out-of-town family? That's time. That's a decision. That's a choice. And we have this finite amount of time. Having a new family over to the house to eat, to meet from the church, and taking an online class, personal Bible study. And I don't know what this represents. This is something big, but we'll put that in our box, a giant helicopter, whatever that represents. Reading the news and watching the news and then worrying about the news and then arguing with people online about the news that we just read and watched. And we have to choose, are we going to put that in our box? And Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat and MySpace. Everybody pull that out and put that over there. We're not doing that one anymore. And going to the gym to work out. That's one that we should put in there, but most of us put it over here. And going Christmas shopping for pastor's gift. We definitely put that in the box right there. And it looks kind of like a mailbox. Going to check the mail. We want to do that every day. Sleeping in. Some of us put that up. I tried to sleep in and my kids woke me up right there. That's what just happened. I planned to sleep in, and that happened on Friday, actually. We had the Veterans Day. Kids were home from school, and our house does not sleep in. So praise the Lord for that. Maybe you want to write a blog. You know, for this, I just thought of this. I didn't put this in my notes. I had planned years ago to start a blog, and I made it a weekly reminder. I had even had some work done on designing the theme of it. I knew what it was called. I had it at one point. I had a family blog, and then I stopped doing that. But I had another one that was going to be more ministry blog and things that I was going to do, and I had it designed. And for years, I had a weekly reminder that I had put into my calendar that popped up on the day when I had planned to do the weekly blog, but I never ended up going forward with it. And even when I came here to pastor, I was still receiving a weekly reminder on my computer and on my phone, write blog post. It never happened. I never had a blog, that one that I had planned to do. I had never written the first post, but I had gone so far along in the process that I had actually put a weekly reminder, and this was the time period I had chosen. This is the block of time that I'm going to put in my finite week for that. I never did it, but I had this weekly reminder to remind me what a loser I was and that I didn't fulfill what I had planned to do in every week, and I eventually just deleted it a year ago or so. You know what? I have my weekly email, which I did well, and then I had about a 10-week hiatus, and now I'm back, but that's my blog, is just connecting with you on a weekly basis with a thought here or there. But maybe I'm going to write a blog. And so for me, I say I'm going to do that, but I didn't. So we'll put that over there. I chose not to. And nightly dinner with the family. And I made a decision. I was going to take a trip to Israel for 2 weeks, and that's going to fill up a portion of my life. Working a second job, joining the bowling league, joining the softball league, joining the local book club. Am I going to go? Am I going to choose to be at 9 o'clock, a connection group every Sunday at church? Is there going to be a group of people that I go to learn God's word from? Am I going to put that in my box? Working at the homeless shelter, Brother Sammy mentioned that, the rescue mission there. Maybe volunteering for a charity, getting involved in a political campaign, running a half marathon. Oh, take that one out. Running a full marathon. Take that one out. Running a 10K. Take that one out. Running a 5K. Nope. Walking a 1K at a leisurely pace. I'll do that right there. And cleaning the house. Some of you chose to put that in, and some of you haven't put that in. And the list could go on and on, going for a bike ride, fasting for a day, a week, or longer in our lives, and choosing these, you know, all of these blocks, and we're pretty much filled up. I could probably cram a little bit more in here to fill it up, but we're starting to get a little overextended. If I start trying to shove it down, it's going to make the life get a little stretched. I'm going to get a little overextended. I'm going to start ripping at the seams, if you will. I'm going to start burning the candle at both ends, if you will. Life is made up of endless opportunities. And you know what? Some of these are good things that I didn't put in, some that I haven't even named here. And spending time in fasting and prayer, we have, just like my blog post, we have good intentions, but when was the last time we spent any time fasting and praying? And going to Wednesday night church, and we have good intentions, but then we don't put that, we haven't chosen, or getting involved in an area of service. Someday I'm going to do that, or going and being a witness and sharing the gospel with people on a regular basis wherever we go. That I agree we should do that. I want to do that, but we haven't chosen to put, and we could list all of those. I had another 15 or 20 things here. List all of those that some we choose to put in and some we don't. And this, by the way, this isn't a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. It's a weekly thing. Sometimes we find out, you know, I put too much of watching television in the box. I need to pull that out so that I have room to put something that's a little more valuable in. I've put too much effort right now in this season into my work. I need to pull that out so I can spend some more time worshiping God. I've put, whatever it might be, it's this constant state of, and it's fluid. And there are times when we have the right blocks in for the most part, and other times where we don't. And it's this constant thing of, God, how am I stewarding the life, the time, the resources, the energy that you've given to me? And there's always more to do than we have room to do those things. By the way, none of us has more time than anybody else. We all have 168 hours each and every week. The difference is that some of us, we try, and when I say us, not that I, but some of you, we might steward our lives a little bit better than somebody else does. Solomon thought that his box was infinite. He thought he could fit it all in there, and by the way, I've been there. Where I thought that my box was infinite. And in chapter 6, he's going to teach us about following God in filling the box. Because without God, we will do one of two things. We will overfill the box with things that really shouldn't be in our lives, and we'll overextend ourselves, and we'll come apart at the seams. Or we'll underfill our box, and there's all these good things that God wants us to be doing, but we will, in the sake of just not having a hard life or laziness or whatever, we will underfill our box. box, and we won't use our lives for the glory of God. I was talking to one of our families this week, and they were talking about the fact we want our lives, our time to count, and for us, we don't spend our, and they were, we were just talking about some things, and we want what our resources, before God calls us home, we want our life, our time, our money to count for God, and we don't want to waste it on Pastor, would you help guide us in this area? Give us some wisdom. And what were they saying? I realized that I need God's help to fill the box that He's given to me. God's given me a box and God's given me all these opportunities. Now, God, would you help me to know what to put in and what to take out? This book of Ecclesiastes, it really is a story. I mentioned this morning of how you and I pursue fulfillment only to find it unfulfilling. Isn't that what we do in life? We're on this constant drive to be fulfilled by things under the sun only to find them unfulfilling. And Ecclesiastes drives us to Jesus by driving us first to emptiness and humility. It's, as you read it, you kind of read Solomon's life, and it's like a fast forward glimpse of our lives when we live them in the wrong ways and for the wrong reasons. And it challenges us as we read Ecclesiastes to answer, what am I putting in my box? What am I giving my time, my energy, my resources, my finances to? What has the priority in my life? And are those the things that are priority to our Lord and Savior, to God? You see, life under the sun, we talked about that this morning. Ecclesiastes is about life under the sun, but Solomon began to give us little peeks into principles above the sun. He began to give us a little wisdom from God, the heavenly wisdom for earthly living. And we looked at that this morning. Life under the sun is about making a good living temporally. Life above the sun teaches me how to enjoy God's good life eternally. Let me say that one more time. Life under the sun is all about making a good living temporally. Life above the sun teaches me how to enjoy God's good life eternally. Would you hold your hand here in Ecclesiastes? We haven't jumped into chapter 6. We'll get back there. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Have you read a couple of verses along with me, and I'll give you three thoughts, three things that we see in chapter number 6 that Solomon said we fill our box with. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 16, talking about this idea between under the sun and above the sun with our lives. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man," that's the fleshly life, the physical man, "our outward man perish, yet the inward man," the spiritual life, "is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." What is Paul saying? He's saying, get a right perspective in your life. Stop living for the things which are seen and start living for the things which are not seen. Stop filling your box with the things that are under the sun and start filling your box with things that will matter for eternity. I use illustrations for the season our family is in, but I was joking about basketball league and baseball league and flag football league and lacrosse league, and we have five kids, and you multiply that by five, and then there's the tutoring and the club team and the AAU and the individual coach and the this and the that, and all of, in our family, we love sports. I grew up playing sports. I've coached sports for 16, 17 years. We love, my kids love to watch sports, we love to play sports, but we have had to come to a place to say, for the sake of the sanity of our family and for the fact of getting some eternal blocks in here, there are some temporal blocks we've had to say no to. I ran a baseball league in Northern California that, when we left, had about 225 kids there, 21 teams, I think, in four different age divisions. I love baseball. For one of my children, it's probably their most natural sport. Pretty good. They played 1 year here in the Newport Beach League and made the All-Star team their first year. Pretty good baseball player. We haven't played. We've played one time. We haven't played the other two seasons we've been here. Why? Because we want to punish our child? No, because we had to look, this is finite. And if it worked out in our schedule, but for us to be committed to the work of God and for us to be committed, there are some things we have to say no to. And for us, and that's one illustration, but every day we have to make that decision. Am I going to turn the TV on, or am I going to talk to my wife? Am I going to watch this DVD, or are we going to go on a walk? Are we going to sleep in, or are we going to wake up 15 minutes earlier to spend some time with God to get our day started? And this is not a manipulation or a guilt thing. This is a reality check that all of us only have so much time. And every day we're making decisions about what we're putting in, what we're taking out. And Solomon gave three different lives, if you will, that we can fill our lives in. And I want us to see those three different profiles, one or more of which we will live throughout our lives. And we see in chapter number 6, I want you to look in chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. Solomon said, we're back in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse number 1. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun. Notice this, and it is, we're in chapter 6, verse 1. There's an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is what? It is common among men. Verse 2, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity. And Solomon calls it an evil disease. What did he say? He got the stuff that he thought he wanted, but he didn't get to enjoy it. And he said, it's vanity. It's an evil disease. It's not a life well lived. Skip down, if you will, to verse number 11. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? What is Solomon saying there? There be many things, many opportunities, many blocks in life that increase vanity. Who can tell him, and we're going to get to that a little later in the message, who can tell him what are the right ones to put in? I want to give you these three profiles Solomon gives us about the lives that we will choose, the way we will choose to use our box. And for some, this might be your box today. You're an elementary age girl, I guess. I don't want to say a teen girl. It's Minnie Mouse or whatever it might be. But we have the different sizes and the different resources and the different opportunities in our life. I want you to see, number one, in verses 1 and 2, the disappointed life when success destroys me. The disappointed life when success destroys me. Verse number 1, it's an evil I've seen under the sun. It's common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is the disappointed life. We saw that in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. They that will be rich and the love of money, they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They gave their lives, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to achieve that, and this corporate success, and this financial success, and I'm going to get all of that. And they get to the end, and they look, and they don't even get to enjoy all that they've amassed. That's the disappointed life. When success destroys me, how miserable are we that have things that we are powerless to enjoy? I remember we had they were a good family, very generous family. They're a faithful Christian family. They now live in Georgia, and good friends of ours in Northern California. He was a multi-millionaire. God had blessed him financially. He grew up in a Christian school and was a Christian from a Christian family. And I remember they built this beautiful mansion on a golf course in a very affluent gated community in Northern California. I remember visiting their home the first time, and I won't go into all the details, but just an amazing place. And they had the most amazing kitchen, and they had the man cave and the theater and the bedrooms and the sewing room and just this probably, I don't know, 8,000-10,000 square foot home. Just the hallways were wider than the hallways, you know, of a mall. It was just these huge and archways and columns, just this beautiful home they had built from the ground up. And I remember as we walked through this entire house, And we were talking. We said, "Now, where do you spend most of your time?" And they had this golden retriever that they loved, and they had in one of the huge weight room that just had, it was like a Gold's Gym, this whole thing. And we were there, and they said, "Now, what's a normal day look like for you? You know, you guys eat a meal, and they said, "Really?" And there was this one room that was right off of the garage. It looked like your living room or mine. It had four walls. It had a TV. I think one picture on the wall, and just a little leather couch. Everything else in the house, unbelievably impressive. This one room, my living room, is more impressive than that one room." And they said, and I'll never forget, they said, "You know, we spend most of our time in this room because we don't like the dog going through the house getting hair and dirt and slobber everywhere. And this is the one that's connected to the outside with the doggy door. This is the one room the dog's allowed in. And we like to spend our evenings with having the dog with us as a family. And so we come in here, and if we spend almost all of our time here." You know what hit me? It doesn't matter how big your house is, you can only be in one room at a time. And I'm not against, I have more, I have, I don't know, 10 rooms in our house, and I can only be in one at a time. And it hit me when I was there in that home, and they used their home for God's glory, and they were unbelievably generous to the work of God. I'm not criticizing them at all, but this truth hit me, this idea of we have all of these things, but we, on a daily basis, even on a weekly, probably, and we talked to them, they said, there are some months I don't even go into some of the rooms in this house. And to have those things and really not to use them. And he's saying that Solomon is talking about here that you have these things, but God doesn't give you the power to use them. And the truth of the matter is we can't truly enjoy God's gifts apart from the God who gave us those gifts. Warren Wiersbe said, to enjoy the gifts without the giver is idolatry. And this can never satisfy the human heart. Enjoyment, listen to this, enjoyment without God is merely entertainment and doesn't satisfy. But enjoyment with God is enrichment and it brings true joy and satisfaction. How disappointing is it to achieve earthly success but have no relationship with God, no purpose for life? What is that? That's the disappointed life when success destroys me. Look at verse number 3. Notice what he says. If a man beget 100 children, that's a lot, and live many years so that the days of his years be many, and his soul, notice that his soul, the spiritual things, be not filled with good. He has earthly success, but it's destroyed him. He has no spiritual priority. And also that he have no burial. I say that an untimely birth, that's a miscarriage. An untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. Solomon said, I don't care if you live for 2,000 years and you have 100 children. If you haven't put the right things in here, it's a disappointing life and your success has destroyed you. And then we see in verse number 7, secondly, not only the disappointed life, when success destroys me, but we see the desperate life when appetite drives me. We hit this morning, so we won't spend a ton of time here, but Solomon goes over and over and over it. Verse number 7, notice what he says. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. You see that? Didn't we see that this morning? He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. He that loveth abundance with increase. Verse number 8, for what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. What is he saying? What we have is better than what we want. What God's given us is more satisfying than what we think it will be if we get what we think we want. He says there in verse number 9, better is the sight of the eyes, what we have, than the wandering of the desire, what we want. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. Not only is it empty vanity, chasing after the wind, but it's vexation of spirit. It's not only of no value, it's of negative value. And he says, how are you filling the box of your life? Is it a disappointed life when success destroys you? I sought earthly success, but I made no time for spiritual growth. I made no time for spiritual commitment. And Solomon, by the way, Solomon had all the earthly success, but he said, I put the wrong things in my box. And then he says, not only the disappointed life when success destroys me, but the desperate life when appetites drive me. And I don't have to hit this very long tonight, but a person driven by appetite can't enjoy what he already has because he's constantly pressing to obtain what he doesn't have. He thinks more is always better. And this, I mentioned this morning, this can be somebody living in utter poverty in a third world country that appetite drives them. This doesn't matter how big or small your house is, how slow or fast your car is, how expensive or cheap your suit is. This has nothing to do with that. This is about a heart issue, not a having issue. When appetites drive you. Appetites can drive you when you have nothing, and appetites can drive you when you have everything. It's one reason sometimes why those that have achieved so much earthly success and the ones that we would call celebrities, or they're very well known, they're famous, but they can't, what happens? They can't keep a marriage together, and they're estranged from children, and they have addictions. And why is that? They've achieved earthly success, but they're not fulfilled because their appetites drive them. I've got to be with that lady there, and I've got to have that relationship there, and I've got to try to earn that, and I've got to achieve that, and I've got to experience that. And it's a never-ending pursuit. It's a desperate life. I've got to have more, more, more. What did he say in chapter 4? Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and labor, vexation of spirit. Solomon says, you need to learn, and I need to learn that what I have is better than what I want. What did Paul say? I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. We saw this morning, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. If you'll give your box of your life to God, he will give you what you deeply want, not what you think you want. I was reading Kerry Schmidt, and he was talking about this passage, and a pastor, a friend of mine, and he said, God will always give you what you would have asked for if you knew everything that he knows. And if you were as good and loving and all-powerful as he is. What is he saying? He's saying, instead of constantly wishing you had something different, rest in the goodness and the grace. Rest in the position God's placed you, and rest in the possessions God has given you. That is a satisfied life as opposed to the desperate life I've got to have, got to have, got to have when appetite drives me. And let's look at the end of the chapter, the last bit of it here. By the way, before I do that, let me say this. It is good to have an appetite to want to be more for God and do more for God. That's good. What did Paul say? Not as though I had already attained. There's a difference between contentment and complacency. It's good to be content. It's not good to be complacent. Paul had learned to be content, but he was content with what he had. But he was not complacent with who he was for God. He said, I pressed, not as though I'd already attained. Paul had some appetites that drove him, but they weren't earthly, fleshly appetites. They were spiritual appetites. Brother Sammy challenges me with this and some of the goals and prayers and vision that he has in his Spanish ministry. And he has a burden and a vision to see God do some great things in that ministry and in our church at large. And it helps me. And he's driven by some passion and some appetites, if you will. I believe they're not man-centered. I don't think it's for his glory. I believe his heart is right. For the glory of God. And that's a good thing, to have an appetite to do more and be more for God. It's not good to have an appetite to get more from God. There's a difference. Complacency, contentment. I'm content with what God's given me. I'm not complacent or content with who I am for God. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not as though I'd already attained, neither yet were already perfect. He said, I'm striving to become more. Every day I want to grow in grace. I want to become more for God. And so there's that balance between contentment with what I have and where I am, but not content or complacent with what I've given God and who I am for him. It's good to have an appetite to want to be more for God and do more for God, not good to have an appetite to want to have more. What did Christ use as it relates to the appetites of this world? What illustration did he say? Consider the lilies. Consider the ravens. What's their appetite? They just enjoy being who God made them to be and let him care for every one of their needs. The lily isn't sitting there in the field saying, boy, I sure hope I get bigger tomorrow. I hope I grow another petal. I hope I'm a taller lily than that lily over there. No, the lily just is content, if you will, to be who God made them to be and lets God control their existence. And he said to us, consider the lilies, consider the ravens. He said, which one of you, Solomon in all of his splendor was not arrayed like unto one of these. Solomon, with all of his appetites, didn't have the fulfillment that I've given to them, didn't have the perfection that I've given to them. He said, which of you, taking thought, can add a stature to his cubit? It doesn't do you any good to have your appetites drive you. I've got to have more, and I've got to attain more and get more and amass more. Oh no, he said, that's a desperate life, the life where we are driven by our appetites. And then lastly, we see in the last three verses here, the delighted life when God directs me. Verse number 10. Follow along if you will, Ecclesiastes 6, verse 10. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. By the way, when I try to take control of my life and my happiness, when I think I know what's best to put into this box, you know what I'm doing? I'm contending with he that is mightier than me. God, get your hands off of my life. Let me control my life. Let me direct my kids. Let me choose my path. Oh no, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Get your hands off of your life. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The delighted life when God directs me. And he says here, he says, who is he that contend, who can contend with him that is mightier than he? Verse 11, seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth, who knows what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Solomon said, he said, who knows what are the right blocks to put into this box called life? Who knows? And Solomon said, I don't know the right things to put in there. And by the way, there's no man that can necessarily tell me the right things to put in there. I've got to go to the Lord. Again, allow God. It was a rhetorical question that the answer was obviously it's not me and it's not you. You don't know exactly what God has for my life. And I don't even know. My heart's desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. I don't even know necessarily what's the right things to put in here. But you know who has the answer? My Heavenly Father has the answer. The Holy Spirit has the answer. God's Word has the answer. And so I come before God. Somebody asked me today, I was talking with a member of our church, and they were saying, we have some of these, some different resources and things we're looking to use for God's glory. What do you think we should do? And my immediate response was, give me a few days to pray about it. Why? I don't want to live in my own wisdom. I want to have the leading of God. I want to get some wise counsel. I want to go to God's Word. Why? Because I don't have the answer about what the right things to put in here are. But God's Word does, and his Holy Spirit does. And if I'll delight myself in the Lord, he'll give me the desires of my heart. If I'll trust in the Lord with all my heart, he'll direct my paths. Who can tell you which blocks to put in the shoebox? Now, I do think there's some people that have been down the path of life, and you can ask them, you know, do you think as a family that we should get out of church to pursue this thing? And somebody might tell you, some people that have some spiritual wisdom, and that's a biblical principle, can say, you know what? I'd be careful about putting that block in the box. I think this block would be a little bit better. But in your life and in mine, and who has the knowledge and the wisdom and the power to fill our lives with the right things, to guard us from wasting our lives on the blocks of vanity and vexation of spirit? You know who it is? It is God. And better are less blocks with God than more blocks without him. Better is what God has given me than what I would give me. Better is the simplicity of God's plan than the complexity of my plan. God in this finite, God knows, the Bible says, I love this verse, he remembereth our frame, he knoweth that we are but dust. You know what a great truth? I love the fact is God knows the limitations of your box because he made your box. Well, I don't have this gift or that talent. I don't have this resource or that special ability that person has. God knows the box that he gave you. And he doesn't want you to fill your box like he doesn't want me to have the same, some of the same things, but I don't have to fill my box with everything that Bob needs to fill his box with. And there are some things that God's called Jane to fill her box with that he hasn't called my wife to fill her box with. And we need to understand it is God that has given us this life to live. And we need to come to him and ask, God, am I pleasing you with what I'm putting in the box of my life? Oh, there are more opportunities. There are more things to do than I have hours in the day. And I don't know. I haven't lived my whole life yet, I hope. But I'm guessing that doesn't change when you're in your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, your 80s. There's still more things that you'd like to do that would sound fun, that you wish you would have done. I've never got a chance to do that. And boy, I wish when I was raising my kids, I would have done more of that. And it's a lifelong thing that there's always more to put in than we have space to put in. So what do we need? We need God to guide. God will never overextend me the way that I will overextend me. Jesus will give us margin in life, not madness. He'll give us purpose, not a pointless existence. He'll give us simplicity, not oversaturation. Little is much when God is in it. Again, in verse 12, who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the vain days? Who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? What's the answer? The answer is not me and it's not you, it's God. And so here's the challenge as we finish up tonight. I'd encourage you, would you look back over the last 7 days and ask yourself, how did you use the 7 days, that box of that last week? What blocks did you put in there that were exactly what God wanted you to put in? And what blocks did you put in that you said, you know what? It's kind of vanity and vexation of spirit. It sounded good, it looked good, it felt good, but it didn't bring honor and glory to God. I could have used my time a little more wisely. I could have been a little more, I could have spent more time in worship and love and service. I could have spent more time in prayer and in Bible reading. I could have spent more time in giving instead of getting. I could have spent more time investing instead of just resting. And I'm not against rest, but I don't know where all those, but take a look at the last 7 days. How did you do in stewarding the life, the box that God has given to you? And how did I do? This last 7 days, were you living light or were you living heavy? Were you living anxious or were you living joyful? Were you living empty or were you living filled? And I would like to encourage you to now look at the next 7 days and answer the question, what blocks do I need to put in? And what blocks do I need to remove? You know what? I only have so much time. My box, my resources, my time, my energy, it's finite. I want to give it to that which matters most. Sometimes it's not a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of good or better, or better or best. You know what? It'd be good for me to do that, but it'd be better for me to do this. I'm going to say no to that one, and I'm going to say yes to that one. The next 7 days, and doing that on a daily basis and a weekly basis, saying yes to the blocks that God wants and having courage to say no to the blocks that are filling up our box and crowding out the blocks that God wants. It's a weekly process that you and I will need to do, maybe even a daily process and an hourly process. And maybe, and not maybe, if you're anything like me and if you're anything like Solomon, we have all made some bad decisions at times with what we filled the box of our life with, haven't we? We've neglected some of our God-given priorities for some of our man-made priorities, and we've wasted some days, haven't we? And we've wasted some weeks, haven't we? And we've wasted some years, haven't we? And we can't do anything about that, but His mercies are new every morning, and God gives us another day and another week, and He hasn't come back yet, and He hasn't called you home. And so guess what? You approach another week of life, and you've got a finite amount of time, 168 hours, and let's learn from Solomon and say, you know what? I spent some time with a disappointed life where success destroyed me, and I spent some time with the desperate life where appetites drove me, but God, this week, would you help me to spend some time with the delighted life where you direct me? Help me to give you the box of my week, the box of my month, the box of 2018, and realize that one, it's nothing wrong with this block, but it's just not what God's called us to at this season of life. My wife is better than that than I am. I am a conqueror. I like to conquer things. I believe I can do everything. A good illustration is we planned a 2-week trip to Israel, and on the calendar I planned to land on Thursday afternoon and to drive to Mexico on Thursday night as soon as I got through customs to go to the teen missions trip. That's probably not the wisest use of my box. That probably wasn't a real good. And Sammy, we were flying home, and Sammy said, What were you thinking? What were we doing when we planned that? Because he was going with me to go over to Mexico. And we had been in Israel 10 hours ahead of time, landing in LAX at 6 o'clock in the evening. And I had planned. Now, I didn't leave until 9 in the morning. I gave myself 12 hours of margin there to then go over to Mexico. But the plan was, and I have, you know, my wife will say, you don't have to say yes to every opportunity. You don't have to go everywhere that somebody asks you to preach. Why are you doing that, honey? We have this on the calendar. Why are you doing that? There's this event at church. You don't need to do that. And I say, get thee behind me, Satan. God's given me these opportunities. No, I don't say that. But my nature is, I think, if you look at we go through this with our church staff and our calendar planning meetings, and we see what can we put, what's not the right, there are good things on a church calendar that were on this year's calendar that are not on next year's calendar. Why? There are good things, but we said, you know what? That block isn't really accomplishing the purpose of our church. We only have a finite amount of time as a church family. Let's put those things there. But I am the type that thinks, you know what? I can put it all in there. I can do it all. I can do everything. And you know what? That's not a sustainable or healthy or even spiritual or scriptural method of living. And my wife will say sometimes, people will say, well, are you going to go do that? Or are you going there? And she'll say no. And I've heard her say it even just recently with a couple of things. It's not the season of my life right now for me to do that. She has an understanding what God's called her to and the blocks that belong in the box of her life in this season. And I could learn from that. But sometimes my success destroys me, and sometimes my appetites drive me, but I pray that God will help me to learn like Solomon to allow God to direct me. How are you using your life? How are your priorities in your family? How are you using this finite amount of time, energy, and resources that God's given you? Oh, if you're like me, you've made some bad decisions as it comes to filling up your life. But God gives new mercies every day. And tomorrow is another day to say, God, help me to put the things in the box of my life that will please you tomorrow rather than what will please my flesh. Help me to grow in you. Help me to be more for you rather than get more for me. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. What's in your box? Solomon looked at three profiles, three things that he learned. The disappointing life when we think we're going to find fulfillment in temporal things. The desperate life when we're constantly seeking something else, or the delighted life when we allow God to direct us. Maybe there's some parents that you need to make a decision. We're going to change this in our schedules right now so that we can put this other more important block in the box of our family's life. Maybe there's some singles or some teenagers that need to say, you know what, instead of that time that I spent on the computer, I'm going to give that time to God and reading His Word on a daily basis. Maybe there's some heads of households that say, instead of this, instead of spending that time on that recreation, I'm going to seek to know God more, seek to invest in others more, seek to be a witness, get involved in service, love my family. I don't know how the Holy Spirit is talking to you, but I pray that He is, because God wants all of us to use the finite box of our lives for His glory. I won't ask who God spoke to, but I'll have a word of prayer and then we'll stand together at the piano, we'll play. If God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to the altar to spend some time with God, to ask Him to redirect your priorities, to ask Him to give you the wisdom to put the right blocks in and to take the wrong blocks out of the box of your life. God, I do thank you for your word. I pray these thoughts, these truths from your word would help each one of us. And dear God, help us to live God divinely directed lives instead of fleshly driven lives. Help us to find our delight in you and in your path and purpose for our lives rather than us and our dreams and desires for our lives. I pray that our elementary students and teenagers and single adults and young married couples and middle-aged married couples and folks that are senior citizens and single parents and whatever the age or stage of life, I pray that all of us would get a hold of the importance of using our resources wisely for your glory. I ask these things in your name.